Ома Гиане, ты не вен акция. Гианан же на шалаха, я. Чак шури мили там гена тасмай шуга. Many times I give classes with Tamil translations.
Yes.
But usually in India, sometimes in Sri Lanka. So here we have a class for the, especially for the Tamil speaking people at midday, and then later for the local people, German people.
Yeah.
So why do we have a separate class? Well, one obvious reason is that many Tamil speaking people are not so fluent in German. But I think many of you have been here many years. Some were born here.
Small ones.
The rest of you can all understand German nicely, I think, isn't it? No. Even though you live here?
Was it actually the literature language?
The higher language. They know just for working.
Yes.
But when it comes to philosophy,
yeah.
And in German you get words this long. Philosophical ones, right? It's a complex language. Could you please just turn around? I'm very particular about this point because Prabhupada was that we shouldn't have it back to the deity. Yeah. Alright, so that's one good reason to have a separate class. Another reason is that the culture is different. Local people, Tamil people, the culture is somewhat different. But the message of Krishna consciousness is the same for everyone. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, and the first thing he teaches us is that we are not Tamils. Did you know that? I think Tamil, that word doesn't come in Bhagavad Gita. But in a general way, Krishna teaches that we're not Tamil, we're not Swiss, we're not Sinhalese or Indian, that we are not the body at all. We get different bodies in each birth. And depending on what we think of at the time of death, we get a new body. Now, funny thing is, if you think about it, that you might, if you're very strongly enemies with someone, you might be born in their community in your next life. Yeah. Just like in Sri Lanka up to recently, there was a lot of fighting between Tamils and Sinhalese. So if a Tamil person is shot, and then he's just when he's dying, he's thinking, oh, a Sinhalese person shot me. In the next life, he'll be born in Sinhalese. In the next life, he might be shooting the Tamil people. So it's foolish to identify with any particular ethnic group. Naturally, we do so as it's vyavaharik. That means conventional to do so. But we should understand from Bhagavad Gita that we are not the body at all. And that our real relationship is not with anyone or anything of this world, but our relationship is with Krishna. This is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. I recently got information that the president of Sri Lanka, whose name I don't remember, had sponsored...
Rajapaksa.
Oh yeah, he's famous, yeah. At least a little bit famous. In India, his name is. He had sponsored the printing of Bhagavad Gita in English, Tamil and Sinhalese, using Prabhupada's translation. You know that? No, Vasudev Dasa wrote that to me. Without purpose, just the verses. Bhagavad Gita. So there's good respect for Bhagavad Gita, it seems. All over the world, at least the more cultured section of society, they have good respect for Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, not many people know the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes Bhagavad Gita is misunderstood that it's urging everyone to fight because Krishna was urging Arjuna to fight. But actually, if people understand the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, then they won't fight. Fighting is sometimes necessary in human society. But, because there are demons, asuric people. In the case of Duryodhana, there was no other course but to fight, because he wouldn't accept any reasonable solution. In fact, he wouldn't even accept any even unreasonable solution. He should have returned the kingdom to the Pandavas when they came out of exile. But they were willing to settle for even half the kingdom. And then they were willing to accept even one village each, which would have been unreasonable. The Pandavas were willing to accept that, but Duryodhana would not even accept that. So in some cases, fighting is necessary. But if people would actually accept the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, then there would be no need for fighting. When we understand that actually nothing belongs to us, then why should we fight over anything? We fight because we think this is my land, this is my country, this is my rights, these are my rights. But when we understand that we actually have no link with this material world, it's only temporary and illusory, then for what should we fight? In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives the peace formula. That how individually we can attain peace, and how communities and the whole world can attain peace. Does anyone know that verse? Srila Prabhupada presented this as the peace formula. Sutra, we say in North Indian languages. Srila Prabhupada, when he was first preaching in America, at that time, the war was going on in Vietnam. American troops were in Vietnam. So Prabhupada suggested how to get peace, based on Bhagavad Gita. He suggested one shloka from Bhagavad Gita. Bhuktaram sarva yajnanam. Krishna is the enjoyer of all endeavors.
What bhuktaram sarva?
Yajna, I mean the word is yajna, but actually in Vedic society, all endeavors, they culminate in yajna. So practically it means that everything that we do should be offered for the pleasure of Krishna. Sarva loka maheshwaram. Krishna is the proprietor, the controller of all planets, everything in the universe.
In the
Sri Krishna. And suhridam sarva bhutanam. Krishna is the best friend of all living beings. Gyatva mam shantim richati. Who knows this? They attain peace. So that's something very valuable to learn, isn't it? Because especially in the modern age, no one is peaceful. You came from Sri Lanka because the situation was not peaceful. You came to Switzerland, which is a very peaceful country. I think Switzerland has not been at war for like hundreds of years, isn't it?
Yeah.
About 800 years or something. And somehow they have three languages, but it all stayed together as one country. So it's unique in the history of this miserable planet. So socially there's peace, but mentally people are not peaceful. How do I know? I don't live here. I just came here yesterday and immediately I ran away to Germany. Then they dragged me back here. So I've only been here a few hours. So how do I know that no one's peaceful here? Because it's everywhere in the world no one is peaceful. And especially the more money people have, the less peaceful they are. If we do a graph, as the money goes up, then the peacefulness goes down. So we find that in the Western countries, everyone's very disturbed. So this is this instruction from Bhagavad Gita. You can learn how to personally attain peace, and you can help others by giving this very simple advice by which they can attain peace. We don't even have to insist to people that you have to accept Krishna. But we should understand that there is a supreme controller. Parameshwara. Supreme, particularly the point of controlling. That this whole universe is going on. The scientists, they study the various laws of the universe. And even many scientists, nowadays they are becoming convinced that the universe is so complex that there must be a supreme controller. Actually, even a child can understand this. But then when we become more sophisticated, we become less apparently becoming more intelligent, we become less intelligent. So it's not very difficult to understand that behind this vast cosmic manifestation, there is a creator and a controller. So we know from Bhagavad Gita that this is Krishna. But some people, they call him God or God. Allah.
So accepting that there is a supreme controller, we just have to know three things about him to become peaceful. What are those three things? Let me see if you can remember. I just said it 3 minutes ago. I think he studied Bhagavad Gita already.
Bhoktara is the...
Krishna is the... We should offer everything that we do for the pleasure of Krishna. That's the first thing. Or the offer God. We can tell. For God, the supreme control. Now, everything we do it to make some advantage for ourselves, isn't it? We go to work in the morning, or we cook some idli, sambar. We have some idea, I will get some benefit. It's for me, my family, but it's more or less my own circle. So everything we do, even you see we put on some warm clothes, we don't really think about it, why we're doing it, but we're doing it because we think I will be benefited by this. But if we understand that actually we are meant for giving pleasure to the Supreme Controller, and therefore everything we do should be aimed at His pleasure, then we become peaceful. Because as long as we're trying to fulfill material desires, we always feel frustrated. I want this, I want that. Now I have a small car, I need a big car. I have a big car, I need a bigger car. Now I have a bigger car, I need two cars. There's no end to material desire. That's why we find, actually, if in Sri Lanka, in the villages, I mean, apart from the war and all that, I mean, previously people were living very peacefully, actually, because they didn't have any great desires. Just, you know, work a little bit in the fields, and then idli sambar, and that's it. But the modern society is based on the principle, always want more, 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 more. This way no one is ever satisfied, they're never peaceful. So if we understand that all our endeavors should be to satisfy God, then we become peaceful. And actually Parameshwara means Krishna. So we can offer everything to Him. It means when we're preparing idli, sambar and all the various items, then we cook that for the pleasure of Krishna and offer that to Krishna, and then we take the prasadam of Krishna. But then we have to cook it in the way that Krishna likes. Krishna is not a meat eater. He doesn't even eat garlic or onions for that matter. So that's very sattvic food. And that also helps to make us peaceful, because if we eat sattvic food, then the mind becomes peaceful. And if we eat dead bodies and this very strong food like onions and garlic, then definitely the mind will not be peaceful.
Strong little
So, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Krishna, He is the proprietor of all planets and all lands. So it's the same thing. Instead of thinking this is my land, we understand everything. We're all part and parcel of Krishna. Instead of identifying ourselves with any particular racial group, we identify myself as Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalaya Dasu Dasanudasa. We are the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the maintainer of the gopis. And Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. Krishna is the very best friend of every living being. This word suhrit, it means like heart-to-heart friend. Krishna is within our heart. Although we have forgotten Krishna for many lifetimes, Krishna does not forget us. And He's just waiting for us to turn to Him. As soon as He turns to us, as soon as we turn to Him, He will accept us. It doesn't matter what we've done previously, if we take shelter in Him, He accepts us. Sri Krishna says, Saradhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshayishami mashucha. Give up all other ideas, all other concepts, surrender to Me only, that I will deliver you from all your previous sinful reactions. Do not worry. Now, is that not the greatest friendship that Krishna is showing to us? All the bad things we've done, and against Krishna, and Krishna is immediately ready to forgive us. We can give you Hare Krishna ringtone, madam. But please turn your cell phone off for the time being. Even Duryodhana, who was the cause of all the problems in the world at that time, even if he had said to Krishna, all right, I accept, I'm a rascal, now please forgive me. Krishna would be willing. Krishna says, Samoham sarva-bhuteshu name dveshosti na priyaha. Krishna says, I am equal to everyone. I don't intrinsically favor anyone or dislike anyone. But some people choose to be Krishna's devotees and Krishna looks after them specially. Those who choose not to be his devotees, then Krishna deals with them differently. Krishna appears to favor some and disfavor others.
Disfavor,
yeah, it means to be against others. Saying that Krishna appears to favor, to like some people and dislike others. But Krishna, he wasn't actually against Duryodhana, per se. If Duryodhana had acted like a gentleman, then Krishna would have reciprocated. Because Duryodhana was against Krishna's devotees, then Krishna was against Duryodhana. So all these points we should understand from Bhagavad Gita. I request you all to very carefully study Bhagavad Gita. But Bhagavad Gita means Unmai Uravil, not anyone's ideas. First saw the title of this book, Bhagavad Gita as it is. I thought this is a very strange title. I wondered why is it written as it is? Bhagavad Gita, then it's Bhagavad Gita. Can't be anything else. It's just like if you go in the shop and you want to buy some tomato. Of course it's all here supermarkets, but in the bazaar there's some tomatoes on sale, and the shopkeeper or the storekeeper, he doesn't say, it's a real tomato, it's a real, real, real tomato. You can say, yeah, it's a tomato. Why? It's obviously it's not a plastic one, it's a tomato. Okay, so, you know, give me 1 kilo. But from studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, and hearing Srila Prabhupada, I understood that most editions of Bhagavad Gita are not as it is. It's Bhagavad Gita, just the name is there, but then people put their own ideas. From Bhagavad Gita, it's very clear that Sri Krishna is telling everyone to surrender to him and be his devotee. Very clear. Krishna promotes this again and again in Bhagavad Gita. But somehow or other, people, they get some different meaning out of it. Just like Duryodhana, Krishna didn't speak Bhagavad Gita to Duryodhana. Duryodhana was incapable of understanding Bhagavad Gita. If Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Duryodhana, and afterwards someone asked Duryodhana what Krishna said, Duryodhana would say that, I, Duryodhana, am supreme. That's what I understood. Because Duryodhana was so proud, he wouldn't take instruction from, he wouldn't listen to instruction from anyone anyway. But if you said anything contrary to his foolish opinion, Duryodhana's foolish opinion, then he would not accept that. Again and again, Krishna, Bhishma, even Dhritarashtra, Vidura especially, they gave good advice to Duryodhana. He always rejected it. Dhritarashtrasya durabuddhe, as Arjuna referred to all the sons of Dhritarashtra as being of bad intelligence. So most of the commentators of Bhagavad Gita, they are like Duryodhana. They don't present that we have to surrender to Krishna. They don't even like the idea of surrendering to Krishna. So according to Duryodhana's friends, Duryodhana was a very nice, cultured gentleman.
Uh-huh. Actually,
according to Duryodhana's friends, if we ask Karna, Shakuni, Dushasan, Jarasandha, Jayadratha, what they think of Duryodhana, they say, he's very nice, very good. And if you ask them about Krishna, they say, no, Krishna, he's not good. So Krishna presents in Bhagavad Gita that you surrender to me. People, if they write their commentary on Bhagavad Gita and do not promote that we should surrender to Krishna, we can understand that they are in the parampara from Duryodhana. They don't like Krishna. They don't want to see Krishna glorified. They want to see themselves glorified. They write a commentary on Bhagavad Gita so that they themselves will be glorified, not that Krishna will be glorified. Srila Prabhupada presented Bhagavad Gita as it is, making it very clear that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and we should surrender to Him. And as a result of distribution of Bhagavad Gita as it is, many thousands of people all over the world have taken to the path of Krishna Bhakti. There are hundreds of other editions of Bhagavad Gita, and no one ever became a devotee of Krishna by reading them. Of course, there are the Sanskrit commentaries of Sri Ramanujacharya, Sri Madhvacharya. So those are, they're also Bhagavad Gita as it is, but I'm talking about in the modern world. So I request all of you, you're coming regularly here to this temple. It's very good that you're all doing that. Now, I'm just offering you a little advice by which your life will be benefited immensely. You study this Bhagavad Gita as it is. Read a little bit every day, at least a little bit. It might be a little difficult because it's deep philosophy, but your life will be benefited in a manner that you cannot even imagine. Especially, you need to teach this to your children. Just like we see here, the mother is taking nice care of the child, very attentive to all the needs of the child. So that is natural for a mother and for the parents to look after the children and see that everything is best for the children. But realistically speaking, children who are raised in this country, there's a very good chance of them being what in your culture would be considered degraded. Because what is considered normal behavior in this country, in the better culture, which is there, actually, in Sri Lanka, it would be considered very bad, many of the things. Actually, I can say Sri Lanka, in many ways, is the culture is much better than India. People are keeping the old culture, the spiritual culture and traditions, much better than in India. Much better, much better. What do you think? You go both places. In India, the secular government, it's the movies. Oh, that's one good thing Prabhakaran did. He kept out the Indian movies, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was quite good to protect the culture.
Yeah. Prabhakaran.
So actually in these Western countries, although in many ways the people are nice, but they don't have any understanding of proper spiritual culture. So you're taking so much care for your children to clothe them and feed them and make everything nice for them. But if you don't teach them Bhagavad Gita as it is, then a good chance they're going to become degraded. Hare Krishna. That's all I'll say for now, unless you have any questions.
Hare Krishna.
How many of you are regularly studying Bhagavad Gita as it is? Some. Yeah. This lady, she should study now. There's the baby. Yeah, I'm looking at you. You have to look after your baby spiritually also. Actually, in many ways, the children, they're often more spiritually intelligent. Often the children ask questions like, where does everything come from, when they're very young. But then, you know, you put them in front of TV and send them to school and they get completely materialistic. Do you all have Bhagavad Gita as it is in your home? Who has got Bhagavad Gita as it is in their home? Don't even all have it. Who doesn't have it? Put up your hand and we'll put in one Bhagavad Gita. Who doesn't have Bhagavad Gita as it is at home? Bhagavad Gita. So who doesn't have Bhagavad Gita at home and understands that they should have it at home? Well, you should all put your hands up. All right. So can you arrange that they get that? It's very important that they should get that. You see, the Swiss Tamils is not just coming together for social life, but should come together for spiritual life. So you can learn all these shlokas, at least the important ones, and teach them to your children. mostly in all our centers in India and in many centers around the world also, especially whether Indian people or Hindus coming, we have children's classes, and one of the main things is teaching them Bhagavad Gita shlokas. Is that going on here also?
Yes, we have some. For small children, we have mid-day class. Yeah.
Well, for a little bit older also. But when they're from about 6 years old, 7 years old.
Now we have also one class.
Yeah. They can all learn shlokas. And then they can... Then they'll come home and they'll say the shloka and they'll ask, Amma, tell me what this means. And then you'll be embarrassed. So you better study also. All right, thank you very much.